According to our ways and according to our doings, so has He dealt with us. You realize that when you become a child of God, when you become a Christian, the Lord free you from the bondage of sin. And after He freed you from the bondage of sin, He also gives to you a freedom to choose how to live your life. The Lord did not, after He has saved us, put a binding chain around us to say, this you cannot do, this you do, this you... No. The Lord gives us a choice. Right? The Lord gives to us a choice. The Lord gives to us a choice. He shows us His will. And He would be delighted that we would walk in His ways. So you see the last part of verse 6, it says, like as the Lord of hosts taught to do unto us, according to our ways, according to our doings, so hath He dealt with us. So He gives us a choice. He gives us a choice to follow Him. He gives to us a choice to walk with Him. And He is asking us that we would choose to walk with Him. Choose the godly way. And the Lord holds us responsible for the choices we make. We can choose, right, to listen and be calm in the spirit, or we can choose, as what the Israelites did at that time, to do their own things. What did they do? What did they do? How did they go about doing their own things? Well, they were going about building their own homes at the expense of God's house. Or they went about building their physical lives at the expense of their spiritual life. So that when we would, our objective, our purpose in life is so earthbound. Is the aircon on? Can someone check? Then there is a need. When we make a choice, right, how we ought to live our lives, God will deal with us according to those choices that we would make in life. So the Lord wants us to be very careful. Right? The Lord wants us to be very careful how we would live our lives. The Lord doesn't want us to go the way of cursing, but He wants us to go the way of blessing. But He laid the two paths before us, and He asked us to choose. When we are not still in the heart, and we go back to the old man and the old ways, then we would choose the carnal way. We would choose the natural way. We would not choose the spiritual way. So God says that you build my house. Why is it so important that Israel is to build the house of God? Because they are a witness as a nation for God, and God used them to be that witness for Him. God created them to be that special, to be His own people, to be His witnesses. But if we choose not to live out God's purpose for our lives, then we would, in the sense we said, we really lose out. Okay? We would really lose out. And there is a price to pay. Right? And our text in at the end of verse 6 says, and they returned and said, like as the Lord taught to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Israel just came back from exile. God brought them back because the emperor of Persia gave a decree for Israel to return to the land after 70 years of captivity. Now, do you know why Israel was deported out of their land? Because they sinned against God. They worshipped idols. And the Lord dealt with them severely. But before the Lord dealt with them, the Lord gave them a lot of opportunity to repent. And so, here this second part, we will start with page 3, right at the bottom, page 3. A call to repentance. A call to repentance. Verse 3 says, therefore, say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. You see the repeated use of the phrase, the Lord of hosts. Now, why is it that the Lord is speaking in this way to the people of Israel? Well, because God is the God of action. God is the commander of all resources. And God is using Israel as a witness for him. And Israel is to be that great witness for God. And when they came back to the land, it's as if they had nothing. Okay? The glory of the previous temple was so amazingly vivid in the hearts, in the minds of the older folks who have seen Solomon's temple before it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And they said that this temple that we built is such a far cry. You see, sometimes when we are, we tend to look at external things and try to, and we can get discouraged by looking at external things. Why is the church not have its own building? Why does the church not have its own places, proper rooms? Why is it that we don't have a proper piano to for our services? Why is it that we do not have this, and why is it that like that? Well, you realize that God is sovereignly in charge, and God is doing something with his people throughout the ages. And for the people of Israel, they have been tasked to begin the rebuilding of the second temple. They are going to start from nothing, no foundation. They are going to return to the land quite discouraged. We said there was economic depression. And so, you can't make ends meet. Why do you want to talk about going to church to worship God? I can't even put food on the table. But that is precisely the point. How is it that we can't put food on the table? Well, Haggai the prophet explained to them, because we have accumulated and put them into pockets that were filled with holes. The Lord was not blessing them because they were not walking according to God's way. And so God dealt with them according to their way. If we choose the way of God, even when you have a small piece of bread for your meal, you know, you eat it with joy. You eat it with gladness. Because you know that this is what the Lord has given to you, and this is your lot in life. And you are happy because you know that God is with you. Have you had that understanding that if you have God with you, you have everything? And sometimes God has to strip us of all the things that we have in order to help us to realize this important truth. We are so encumbered. That was what happened to Israel. God put them in the promised land, gave them the land that is filled with milk and honey, and they became so complacent. They began so, they began to live out of order. And it was a long time before judgment came. But God did not leave his people without hope, without help. Indeed, God chastises. So, we were studying our book of Proverbs. We said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. What did God said to them? Build the temple. Put priority in your spiritual life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Of course, we said, as we said before, let us not be too hard on the returning, on the returnees. You know, as we said this afternoon at our message, F.B. Meyer's words, you look at someone facing temptation, you see someone falling, do not be too quick. Do not be too quick to pass a judgment. This guy, like that, like that, like that. We may not understand the struggle that they have in their life. We may not understand what is going through their hearts. So let us not be too quick. And that's why, you know, in the church environment, it is so important that the people of God, when they come to the house of God, they would be focused. They have to watch their words. They have to be very careful what they would say. And because at the end of it, it would affect their spiritual health and the health of the people around them. And when we are not careful, we're not following the Lord, walking with God, well, we can get pulled along the other way. And that was the sentiment in Israel at that time. The sentiment is that you build your own house first. Don't worry about God's house. But what did God say? Build my house first. And so God sent an older prophet, Haggai, to share with them, to let them know what they ought to do. Right? And it's important that we learn that lesson well. You see. And so at the end of page 3, a call to repentance. A call to repentance. Why do we need to repent? Because they have labored for physical prosperity, page 4, and right at the top, or somewhere in the middle. The returnees have labored for physical prosperity in the past 16 years, and yet not prospering. 16 years they were laboring. That's a long time to labor fruitlessly, right? Yeah. But sometimes, you know, somehow we are slow of heart to learn, slow of heart to be awakened. And so the Lord is, by these words, is pleading with us. Pleading with us. Turn you from your ways. Turn you from your ways. Turn. Turn.
Right.
Do not carry on.
Right.
Do not carry on what you are doing. Put priority in the things of God. Put God first in your life. And you find that the Lord didn't leave them without help.
Right.
Zechariah sounded the alarm to awaken them out of their slumber before judgment comes. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Therefore, say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me." They were doing their own things. They were using their own wisdom. And you see, God's wisdom is not our wisdom, you know. Oftentimes, we didn't realize it. Right? We were giving the example of the conquest of Jericho. Right? When they were conquering Jericho, what did God do? God told them, walk around. Right? One day, one round. Right? Seventh day, seven round. But you are in a battle. You are in a battlefield. You are in the no man's zone. You are in the battle zone. You can comfortably walk around without doing anything. You know that the enemy is up there. If they launch an attack on you, if they shoot their arrows, they would all be dead ducks, right? But what did God say to them? Keep silent. Keep silent and walk. And what did they do? They followed. So the enemy was scratching their head. They were surprised. Why? What happened? What did they do? Why is it like that?
Well,
they did nothing for 6 days against them. The enemy was quiet. They were just surprised, flabbergasted. What are these Israelites doing? Just marching around. So you see, God's wisdom is higher than our wisdom. God's ways are higher than our ways. And very often we need to just bow in worship to tell God that, Lord, we really can't. We really cannot. Please show us the way. Unless you would instruct us, unless thy wisdom would come upon us, we dare not take another step. We dare not move. And so here you see the Lord speaking to them and saying to them that, hey, be careful. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Isaiah 45 verse 9. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, What makest thou? Thus saith the Lord, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. You see, God is doing something, and we are a part of God's universe. And when we are attuned to the voice of God, the will of God, we know the purpose of God, and you'll find that, hey, there is a way of living that is really beneficial for our lives. There is a way of living that God gives to us that would help us to prosper in our ways. And so the Lord wants us to walk in that way. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. The Lord is the God of action. He is the commander of all powers, both material and spiritual. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Do you think he cannot build a glorious temple for them? Of course he can if he chooses. But why is it that he allowed them to live in this, such humble ways? In order that they might, he might humble them. When Israel was in Egypt, right, the purpose of God making them go through the life in the wilderness, it is to humble them. Why did Moses have to go through 40 years in the wilderness to humble him? To know that, to let God be God, and, you know, let Moses be nothing. And unless we are attuned to hear the voice of God, sometimes we are so stubborn. God had to deal with us in his own special way. And why is it that God allowed Israel to go through all this? 16 years, you know, they were running their own lives. Not long, not short. Right? If you are raising a family, yeah, your son, your daughter would be 16 years old already. Right? Finished sec 4. Wow, not short time. And if you have wasted those years, right, you'll find that, wow, you can't get back those years again. 16 years of their lives. Why is it that Israel was in this state? Well, God gave them a choice, as we said. And God wanted them to choose to love him. And God wants you to choose to follow him. He doesn't coerce us in any way. He gives us the freedom of choice to choose to be with him. But you see, when we make a wrong choice, you'll find that, you know, there's no spiritual prosperity, right? And so God has the best way, and he asks us to simply to follow him. And this was what Israel was asked to do. Turn ye unto me, and I will turn to you. When you choose to come back to God, you know, when we choose to mourn for our sins, repent. This word repentance is not a very pleasant word to many. Right? If we have been living our own way, if we are going our own path, you don't want to repent. Repent seems to mean that, you know, we are going to, God is going to exact something from us. No. Godly repentance will always bring with it great spiritual fruit. The prodigal son, when he came back to the father, what happened? The father received him. And the Lord, father blessed him in his return. Before that, what happened? He had nothing to eat. He says, my father's servant lived better than me. When we choose to go our own way, we realize that we are not prospering. Would we not choose to repent and turn to him again? This was the message. And we begin a new year. God wants us to live this new year with greater profit than last year. And he wants us to seek him in a greater way than last year. If we have not sought him the last year as well, this year, let us seek Him for a closer walk and prove the Lord. Will He not bless you? Will He not show His glory and His presence to be with you? And so Israel is asked to consider. You recall the Indian Ocean undersea earthquake on December the 26th, 2004. It has an epicenter off the west coast of Sumatra, Indonesia. From that epicenter is triggered a series of devastating tsunamis along the coast of most land masses bordering the Indian Ocean, killing more than 225 people in 11 countries. I was alerted with a call from Sri Lanka at that time. Alerted. And I gave a call to our dear pastor. Said, hey, there's something going on, you know. And when we had the opportunity to visit there, our dear brother who was there said, suddenly the seabed was empty. The water receded. And I saw there's something wrong. And I started to run. The church premises was far enough, and it was not flooded terribly, although the water went in to the lower floor. It was a devastating earthquake. More than 225,000 people in 11 countries, mainly coastal communities, were affected. Waves up to 100 feet. It was one of the deadliest natural disasters in history. Indonesia, Sri Lanka, India, Thailand were hardest hit, with a magnitude between 9.1 and 9.3. It is the second largest earthquake ever recorded, and it triggered other earthquakes as far away as Alaska. It was a wake-up call. The Bible speaks clearly that before the second coming of Christ, there will be earthquakes in diverse places. This is a warning sign. And you see the earthquakes intensifying. It provides a constant reminder that His second coming is soon and He's returning as a judge. And if you realize it, your life would be different, you know. You would not live your life with that kind of a wanton existence, you know, do what you want, live how you like, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know that judgment is coming. Your life will be very different. And God wants us to know that the judgment is real. Hell is real. And God wants us to realize that we are a heavenly people. If we, you know, like the man that Jesus said in his parable, continue to build barns and tear down barns and build barns. Now, there's nothing wrong with building barns. If you are building barns for the Lord, if your purpose of doing what you are doing is for the kingdom of God, you said, the Lord will prosper me and I want to use this for His kingdom's sake, then you would have profit. But if your motive and your purpose is for yourself, then be careful, because that is where you find that you suffer loss. This day, your soul will be required of thee. And where would I lay all these things that I have? You realize that you suffer great loss. And the Lord wants us to see that. When we have a spiritual perspective, then you realize that, you know, your life has a different meaning. You are investing your life, your time, for eternity. The Lord is coming again. He's coming back as a judge. Do you realize it? Do you know the precarious nature of your situation? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. God wants us to come to Him. Let us not do our own things. Page 5 of your notes. Setting our hearts aright. Your fathers, where are they, and the prophets? Do they live forever? He is saying to them, right, that look at those who were disobedient. What happened to them? They perished. They are gone. But for you, you have an opportunity of a new life. Will you not cherish it? Will you not relish it? Will you not choose to live it? The Lord wants us to live it. So, we need to set our hearts aright. Turn away and focus upon the Lord. Focus on Him in worship. Focus on Him to receive goodness from Him. When you receive goodness from God, you are able to share that goodness with the people around us. But if we don't focus on the Lord, there is no goodness within you in our depravity. Nothing to offer to the Lord. And I said it all begins with worship. We prepare our hearts every Lord's Day to come to His house to worship Him and to take time to come before Him in the study of His Word. So important! But why is it that we take all these things lightly? Why is it that these are not priority for us? Setting our hearts aright is a moment by moment battle. Right? We said, yield not to temptation. Yielding is sin. Fight manfully onward. Deal with the besetting sin in your life. So Zechariah admonished the children of Israel not to follow the bad examples of their fathers who turned out from their evil ways. And you see, God is very gracious. God knows our frame. God knows that we are weak. That's why, you know, we quote again the words of F.B. Meyer. Let us not be too quick to judge. Let us not be too quick, right, to say, hey, this person is like that and that, like that, like that. No. Let us focus upon ourselves. If we are able to focus upon ourselves fully, we have no time to focus upon others. No time to say, hey, this person is like that, that one is like that. No. But rather, we set our hearts aright. How important it is.
Right?
When we set our hearts aright, right, the goodness of God comes to us, then we emanate the good things.
Right?
We emanate God's love. God sent his prophets time and again to warn Israel to flee from idolatry and immorality. They despise these admonitions. The world today is filled with idolatry and immorality, ready for God's judgment. Are our ears dull of hearing that we cannot hear when we insist on going the way of sin? God will deal with us according to our sins. Biblical history provides good lessons for us, and we must rehearse the good heritage of godly virtues for our emulation. I remember purchasing an out-of-print book called Sketches for Boys and Girls. The late Bob Jones, in his house, he would have two books. One book, the Bible. The second book is this book, Sketches, Character Sketches for Boys and Girls. Inside there, it teaches us the cardinal virtues for life. And one of the biblical teaching is, be right, then go ahead. Be right, then go ahead. When you are not sure, don't act. Make sure that you are sure this is the will of God, then you act. When you have no peace, wait. Until God show you clearly, then you act. This saying is full of practical wisdom. If you are wrong, better not go ahead. If you are right, don't waste a moment in going ahead. Consider before you act. Having considered and make sure that you're on the right track, action is now a solemn duty. So we need to be instructed. You need to take time to know the will of God. And for the people of God, during that time, God wanted them to build a temple. God wanted them to build their own spiritual lives, that their own spiritual lives may be strong. Then the life of their children will be strong. The life of their grandchildren will be strong. The life of their children's children will be strong. And the Lord said, let us take time. And the Lord provides for us the answer, right, to our spiritual and needs, right, through his word. He said, the Bible is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's charter. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe. Its doctrines are binding, its precepts are binding, its histories are true. Right. This afternoon we were studying in the book of Proverbs how we need to be vigilant. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Say no. And have the courage, have the backbone to say no to sin. Temptations. To struggle and fight. Struggle within your heart. Fight. God will provide you the victory. How do you fight? On your knees. Pray. Ask God to make a way for you. Make a way out for you. And you need to struggle. You don't struggle, you would yield. Say no. Say no. Set your hearts aright. Remind me of the wonderful work of salvation you have begun in my life. Have you tell yourself this? Remind me of the wonderful work of salvation you have begun in my life. And know that you will, I know that you will perfect it. He has saved you. And he has a good plan for your life. He wants you to prosper. But you said, I don't know how. Well, the Lord shows us how. Take time to worship him. Take time to seek him in prayer for his wisdom. Take time to study his word. We're going to have our church camp in June. 4 days we are going to gather. Tremendous investment on our part. Right? Tremendous investment on the part of the church to bring everyone together. Why is it that we place so much importance that the people of God come together for spiritual retreat? Because that's a time when you take time off your busy schedule to orientate. Because if you go on in your way, nothing to stop, there's no check, then you're going to go head on to destruction. And the Lord provided for us mid-year, a time for us to come together. So I urge you to take time. You remember our family day, we were speaking about devotions. Family or individual devotions. How important it is. If you haven't started, the Lord wants you to start. If you have been doing it in a lackadaisical way, tidak apa, not serious, then woe unto you. We reap what we sow. But if you have been diligent, you have been following the Lord, you have been reading the scriptures, you have been seeking the wisdom of God, will he not bless you and prosper you? Surely he will bless and prosper you a lot. Verse 6, right in the middle of page 5. But my words and my statutes which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts taught so unto us, according to our ways, according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. The prophet pointed them the way back to God. And they came back to God. They all came back to God. After 16 years, the temple was left there unfinished. Foundations were laid. They were building, and after that they left off the work. The Lord said to us, don't. You have been fervent with the Lord for a while. Then you became cool again. The Lord said that it is time to rekindle that first love. The hymn, O Come Unto the Lord, is a hymn of consecration. We sang it last week. We will sing this in closing. O Come Unto the Lord. Page 5, right at the end. O come unto the Lord. O come back to the Lord. Our Lord is waiting for your return both night and day. He is anxiously waiting for you, with his doors kept open wide, as if he is waiting in the night
For his lost child to come back home once again. Oh, come unto the Lord. Oh, come back to the Lord. Our Lord is waiting for your return both night and day. He is anxiously waiting for you, with his doors kept open wide, as if he is waiting in the night for his lost child to come back home. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the record in the history of the life of Israel that reminds us that indeed sin can wreak havoc in our lives, and trials can come severely in our lives that cause us to be discouraged. But Lord, you would not want us to live in discouragement. But you have come to embrace us. You have come to comfort us. You have come to surround us with thy presence, with thy glory, with thy joy and thy peace. O Lord, may it be showered abundantly upon this thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.